I'd ask you to please turn with me this evening to the chapter that we read together. Brother Jonathan read to us in the Gospel of Matthew in chapter 6 and verse 9. The Gospel of Matthew in chapter 6 and verse 9. In this manner therefore pray, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. And the message this evening is based upon Our Heavenly Father. It is simply a devotional message this evening, something I trust to warm our hearts as we approach the Lord's Supper as well. At the end of chapter 5, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ makes a truly amazing statement. He says in verse 48, Therefore you shall be perfect, just as your Father in heaven is perfect. Our Father is our standard. He is the God of love. He is the God of all grace. He is the God, the Father of all mercies. He is the God of all comfort. He is the God who is right in all his ways. He is the God who is just. He is the God who is sovereign, the sovereign Lord of all. And when we consider the words of the Lord Jesus Christ, this should bring us without delay in our thinking this evening to the refuge for sinners the gospel makes known, which is found in the merits of Jesus alone. You see, dear friends, we are not perfect, and yet we follow a perfect God. We do sin, we do backslide, we do have difficulties in our life. But praise God, there is one that we can plead, there is one that we can go to, the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who is perfect, who is holy, who is harmless, who is separate from sinners in terms of his walk. He is holy. And as we trust in the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, his righteousness becomes our righteousness. His perfection becomes our perfection. And we approach our Heavenly Father in the very merit and person and work of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And so, first of all, we need to remember that our Heavenly Father is perfect. And he's looking upon this world as the perfect God. He is the holy God. He is a God who cannot look upon sin with any degree of allowance. He is a God who is a consuming fire. And we cannot play with this God. We cannot play fast and loose with this God. We cannot trivialize this God. He remains eternally holy and awesome. But there is a way we can approach God. There is a way that we commune with God. There is a way through the very person and work of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And the wonderful thing about God, our Heavenly Father, as Jonathan mentioned right at the beginning of this service, that God is love, and we love God because he first loved us. That's the only reason we love God this evening. If you love God this evening, it's because our Heavenly Father has instigated this. He is the source of love. He is love. He is the very essence of love. God is love. And love proceeds from our Heavenly Father. And this is most clearly shown and most wonderfully shown in the very person of his Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, the gift of his only beloved Son. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but should have everlasting life. And so, as we think of this first statement of the Lord Jesus regarding our Father here, therefore you shall be perfect, just as your Father in heaven is perfect. And Jesus has made that possible for us. in him, in his righteousness. Our Heavenly Father. But then, as we look through this chapter 6, we see the knowledge of the Father. Your Father knows the things you have need of before you ask him. And Jesus is saying this in the context of prayer. He's saying this in the context of really being open and honest in your prayer before God the Father. It says when you pray, you go into your room, you shut your door. You pray to your Father who is in the secret place. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. So the second thing we find about our Father in heaven is that he is the all-knowing Father. He knows everything about you, dear friend. He knows about your past, he knows about your present, he knows about your future. He knows exactly what he has sovereignly ordained in your life. And one of the great assurances in prayer is to know that we come to a Father who really does understand us. We come to a Father who really does care for his people. Cast in all your care upon him, because he cares for you with an understanding care. On Friday afternoon, we had the privilege to go to another old people's home at Charing Court, and there was a dear old lady there who, after the service, was talking to us, and she said, "I know, believe in the promises of God, I'm walking with the Father." And this was her favorite text: "Cast in all your care upon him, because he cares for you." And she says, "I've proved that. I know that. I know my Father cares for me." And you see, friends, it's a wonderful thing this evening if we can be assured, midst of all our challenges and all the uncertainties and all the unknowns in life, that one thing is certain: our Father understands. Our Father sees in secret. He sees your life. He sees you on your knees. He sees you crying out. He hears you crying out. And he knows your tears. All your tears are hid in his bottle. He knows all that you are going through. And he knows the things that you have need of before you ask him. And so we can come in prayer to our Father in heaven, assured that he knows, that he understands, and that he has the divine ability to provide for us according to our needs. And so the Lord Jesus teaches us, as he moves in ministry through this sermon in chapter 6, to respect. If our Father is perfect, which he is the eternal Father in heaven, and he is perfect and he is holy, and he is the one that knows all things. He is the one that cares for his people with an understanding care. And he knows the things you have need of before you even ask. This must bring adoration. This must bring praise. So the Lord Jesus said that the way we should come to our Father in heaven is with reverence and with godly fear and with praise on our lips. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Glorious, holy, marvelous be your name. May your name be praised in my life, and your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And so here we read of the authority of the Father. As we come in adoration, we acknowledge his authority. And this is a most wonderful prayer that the Lord Jesus teaches us. The most wonderful prayer, really, that we can ever pray to our Father in heaven, as we come by faith in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to our Father in heaven, and we pray, your will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Are you ready to pray that prayer this evening? Are you ready to go on your knees and pray from your heart, your will be done? Not my will, Lord, but your will. Your will be done in earth as it is in heaven. And that's a prayer of faith. You know, I've told you this story before, but we have to learn never to say never with the Lord. I remember some years ago when I was first preached in London at the Tabernacle, being taken to dinner, through a particular area of London, and I thought, though I'd worked in London for many years, I'd not really spent much time in that particular part of London, and as I went by the Aylesbury Estate and such places there, Woolworth, never live here. But there came a time, 5 years later, when we lived in the very street, at the end of the very street, where I said, we would never live here. Because you never say never with the Lord. But the Lord has to bring us to that point where we say, your will be done in earth as it is in heaven. And so the Father has authority over our life. He has authority over our life. Your kingdom come. We want God's name to be glorified. When we pray, your kingdom come, we're asking for God's name to be glorified. We're asking for the Father's name to be glorified. We're asking for the church to grow. We're asking for God to build his kingdom. And then ultimately, at the end of the world, when we will come to the new heavens and the new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And so this is a prayer of confidence in the will of the Father, in the provision of the Father. But it is also a prayer as we come to our Father. We come to our Father to provide for us with our daily bread. And we come to our Father to forgive us in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, to deliver us from the evil one and to help us to forgive those that sin against us, and not allow us to be tempted, or when we are tempted, to strengthen us. And so there are many issues here that we need to pray for in our lives. We need to know our Heavenly Father going before us, the authority of the Father. And when we come to the Father by faith and we put our trust in him, in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, there is a freedom. There is an assurance. There is a confidence of faith whereby we can pray, not my will be done, but your will. But then, as we continue in our thoughts about our Heavenly Father, we are reminded in verses 14 to 15 again about the issue of forgiveness. And so much depends upon our attitude in the matter of forgiveness. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your Heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. And this is a great challenge for us. A person who is truly born again and truly converted will be a truly forgiving person in and of themselves. One of the great signs of a true Christian is forgiveness. We need grace to forgive one another. But one of the great signs that we have been truly forgiven is when we are willing to forgive others. Simply because we understand the wonder of God's forgiveness for us. This is not a legalistic command. This is not a situation. It's just something we should do. It's something that we do because we're overwhelmed with the love of God to us. And if we know anything about our own hearts by nature, and we realize how much we've been forgiven in Jesus Christ the Lord, under the sovereign grace of the Father, if we understand just a little bit of this, then it will bring a forgiving spirit in our own lives. And if we refuse to forgive people, and we're a professing Christian, we're in a serious state of backsliding. Because while we're in that state, we cannot know communion with God. We cannot know the forgiveness of our sin as we sin each day. We will not know that communion with God. We cannot know that because we're retaining bitterness and hatred in our hearts and we are refusing to forgive. And so we need to repent of that attitude and we need to come unto the Lord and to seek His forgiveness in our own lives and to say we are willing to forgive others. When we pray, your will be done in earth as it is in heaven. This is God's will. You don't need to wait for guidance from God to forgive one another. You don't need to wait for that. The command is already there in the Word of God. And if we pray, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. If we want to know to follow the Father, and we want to know communion with our Father in heaven, then forgiveness is one of the essential requisites. This is what Jesus teaches us. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. If you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. But then there is another area that Jesus speaks to us about in this chapter, in chapter 6. If we look at verse 26, look at the birds of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And so we're looking to the future then. We're wondering, how is God going to provide for us? How are we going to cope with this situation? How is it all going to fit into place? And we get worried. But Jesus says, do not worry about your life in this way. What you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Life is more than food. Life is more than raiment. And you just look at creation. Look at the provision of your heavenly Father in creation. These birds, they do not sow, nor reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. And are you not of more value than they? So the logic here is, if ever heavenly Father is taking care even of the smallest bird in creation, and yet He's made you in His image, the pinnacle of His creation, surely He's going to care for you as you trust in Him. And you cannot, by worrying, add anything to your stature. And we're told here, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. And there's another aspect that we learn in this chapter. And again, it concerns prayer. As we pray to our Heavenly Father, in sincerity and in truth, in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and we pour out our heart unto Him, God the Father will reward you openly. What does that mean? Well, it means that those that spend the most time in fellowship with the Father, that is, that are really concerned about communion with God, they themselves will prove to be a blessing to others. The Lord will reward you openly. It'll be evident to others. This man is walking with Jesus. This woman is walking with Jesus. This woman really depends upon her Father. This man really depends upon their Father in heaven. And it comes out of their speech. It comes in their face. It comes in their heart. You can tell they speak from the heart. And they really mean what they say. And there's a spiritual blessing, a spiritual fruit for others. And people can tell that this person is growing in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And they're growing through communion. They're growing through walking with God. And there is a development in that person's life, spiritually mature, in maturity. And there's a growth in that person. And the church recognizes it. And they see it. And they rejoice because they're being blessed through it. And as we trust in their Heavenly Father providentially, people will marvel at the way God does provide for us. They will see, they will witness with their own eyes how God has gone before and how God has provided for you. And they will marvel. And you'll be able to say, I cast all my care upon Him and He cared for me. And He will reward you openly. But there is here solemn advice by the Lord Jesus. This reward, this open reward, is the fruit of your secret walk with God. The blessing openly comes as a fruit of what people do not see, that secret walk with God. But then there's another thing we learn from our Heavenly Father. The Lord Jesus, if we move on to chapter 7, and verse 7, He says, ask and it will be given you, seek and you will find, knock and it will be opened to you. Everyone who seeks receives. Everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. For what man is there among you who, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone, or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? Now, our Heavenly Father is the one that gives good things to His people, to those who trust in Him, to those who look to Him, to those who believe in Him. Well, there are many good things we could mention that come from our Father in heaven, but these good things come because of His love, because of His mercy and because of His grace. They will always do us good. They will always do us good. All things work together for good to those that love God. And whatever God is permitting in our lives, whatever God is allowing in our lives, it doesn't change this wonderful truth one iota. Your Father who is in heaven will give good things to those who ask Him. that God will bring blessing out of trial. God will work all things together for good. And God himself is the source of all blessing. The Son proceeds from the Father and the Spirit from the Son. And so the very source of love, the very source of forgiveness, the very source of grace, the very source of peace is coming from God the Father through the Son by the Spirit. And so our Father is known by his people as the one who gives good things. And if we believe in our Father, and if we trust our Father as his child, we will respect that he will give good things to his people. But then, if we move on to the Gospel of John, I won't be much longer now, I see the time is nearly gone. Just a few more minutes, two or three more minutes, and we'll conclude. But I want you to look at John chapter 15. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Now on Wednesday, Jim and me are on a project to do some work on a garden. And Jim said to me this afternoon, he said, Pastor, what tool have I got to bring? And I said to Jim, Jim, just bring your secateurs. Because Jim, you're an expert at pruning. And so, that's I know what Jim will bring. But here we're reading about the divine gardener. We're reading about the Lord Jesus Christ as the true vine. But Jesus says, my Father is the vine dresser. So my Father is doing the pruning. He's doing the caring. He's doing the cutting. And if our lives this afternoon, this evening, by faith, are in the hands of our Heavenly Father, we need to have no fear when our Father is cutting, because he's doing it to bring forth fruit. If the cutting was in the hands of anyone else but the Father, in his divine sovereignty, we have everything to fear. But the Lord Jesus says, he is the vine, we are the branches. And if we are in Jesus Christ, and if we're trusting in Christ, and if we're believing in him, and we're walking with the Lord Jesus Christ, and our life is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness, and we look to Jesus for nourishment, and we trust and walk with him, then our Father has to do with our life. And he is working on our life. And he is pruning us. He is caring for us. He is the divine gardener in our life. And by faith this evening, we can praise God if we can say, I'm trusting in the Lord Jesus, and I believe my Heavenly Father is the divine gardener of my life. And he's weeding it, he's cleansing it, and he's pruning it, and he's ensuring that through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, good things will be a part of the person's life. That is, that which will be good for their soul and for their eternal well-being. But then finally, this evening, I haven't spoken at all really from how I intended to speak this evening. I haven't actually really used the notes that I'd got for this evening's service, but when Jonathan read that chapter, it struck me how many times the Father was mentioned. And so I've literally just gone through this chapter and spoke from it as the thoughts have come. But I do want to turn with me, please, to Psalm 103. And these are the final verses I'll read this evening. because this really is one of the greatest passages of scripture to assure us about our Heavenly Father. His benefits, His kindness, His goodness, His goodwill toward His people. In Psalm 103, verse 8, "The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in mercy. He will not always strive with us, nor will He keep His anger forever. He has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor punished us according to our iniquities. For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is His mercy toward those who fear Him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us. As a father pities his children, so the Lord pities those who fear Him. For He knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust." Dear friends, He knows our frame. He knows everything about us. And we can be assured this evening that our Father has a good will towards His people. And He is working all things out according to His good pleasure. And we're simply called to trust Him, to look to Him, and to follow Him.